Who would have thought? Turns out you don't need a prescription for Ozempic to lose weight. Just need a bit of Himalayan pink salt and a glass of water every morning. Now, you may not believe this, but I know it's true. I saw it on the internet. And it's all over social media, so it's got to be true. The global weight management market this year is valued at a bit more than $425 billion. But I got good news for you. I'm going to tell you today how you can lose a whole lot more weight way faster, no cost, in dollars. Because I'm going to talk to you today about how you can shed the weight you've packed on from all the grudges you've accumulated. And the special secret, the magic method, forgiveness. Amazing results. Easier said than done. Forgiveness. So readily received, so reluctantly given. What is it about forgiveness that makes it so eagerly sought and at the same time so grudgingly granted? Simon Wiesenthal wrote of a time when he was confronted with his reluctance to forgive. He was a victim of and witness to unspeakably sadistic cruelties in Nazi concentration camps. The result, he wrote, was that he and others with him vainly groped for explanations and fell victims to despair. One day he was surprised by a nurse in a field hospital where he and a group of other prisoners were assigned to work. The nurse took him from his group and insisted that he follow her to a different part of the hospital and into a room where a young German soldier lay on a bed with his head completely wrapped in bandages with openings only for mouth, nose, and ears. Turns out the soldier had convinced the nurse to find a Jew to bring to his room. And slowly, the soldier told Wiesenthal how he had participated in what he described as dreadful, inhuman, torturous massacre of close to 200 Jews in a small village. He explained that he wanted a Jew to hear his confession so he could die in peace. As Wiesenthal listened over the next several hours, he came to understand that the soldier was asking Wiesenthal to forgive him on behalf of the Jews he had killed. What would you have done? Now, you're not likely to face that kind of extreme experience, but we're daily confronted with the challenge of forgiveness that's so easy to accept, but so hard to bestow. So forgiveness is our focus today. We're seeking for the Lord to give to us truth about forgiveness from Scripture. It is our confident source of truth revealed by God through His Spirit. My desire is to share truth in ways that the Lord will use to reveal to us truth from Scripture, and that the Lord would use that to reveal truth to you during the message and in days that follow. And that's not something I can do on my own. That requires a work from God, both in me and in you. So let's pray. Father in heaven, eternal God of truth, we ask that you open our hearts and minds as you lead us in truth, with truth, to truth, that we may honor you in spirit and truth, in both word and deed. For we earnestly and humbly seek to be the illuminators and instruments of truth that you call and empower us to be as individuals and as a church. Amen. You know, there's no specific definition of forgiveness in the Bible where there's just one verse that said, this is what forgiveness is. But the word is used in the Bible, some form of the word for forgiveness is used in the Bible hundreds of times. In the New Testament, most often, when we find the word forgiveness, like in our English translations, it's a translation from the original language of one of two different words, most of the time. One of those words we find a lot that comes either as a verb or a noun, another one is as a verb. So what I'm going to share with you then is a definition of forgiveness that's based on these words, and then I'm going to share the definition with you first, and then I'll tell you where this comes from. So here's the definition. Forgiveness is giving unearned release. Forgiveness is giving unearned release. So I don't do this very often, but I just want you to see where this is coming from. On the left, what you see on the screen is what it looks like in Greek, and those same words are on your note sheet, but also you'll see on your note sheet what they would sound like if we use our English language alphabet. So aphitemi is that first one, and this is a verb. And this is a word that actually occurs a lot in the New Testament. It's over and over. It's a very familiar word. At the time, it was used very often, very frequently used, but it wasn't most often used for the word forgiveness, because it's a word that just means letting go. It means to let go of something. So, for example, in Mark chapter 4, verse 36, talks about a time when Jesus is going to get in a boat with the disciples, and there's a crowd with them. And it says in the verse, Mark 4, 36, it says that they dismissed the crowd. They let the crowd go, and then got in the boat. It's this word. It's just a common word for letting something go. Again, in Matthew 19, 27, Apostle Peter is talking to the Lord and talking about what they have done to come and follow him. And he said, Lord, we have left behind all things. We've left everything to come and follow you. It's this word. It means to let go. So Romans 4, 7 and 8 quotes from Psalm to use this word to talk about forgiveness. Same word. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, dismissed, let go, left behind, and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will not take into account. So that's the verb, and that's that first one, to let go. The same word often happens as a noun in the New Testament. And it's a word that means release. So if somebody experiences release, it's this word. In the New Testament, we find this word in Luke chapter 4. This is a time when Lord Jesus is in the city of Nazareth, and he's reading from Isaiah. He says, the Spirit of God is on me, and he's empowered me. It says in verses 18 and 19 that he's empowered me to give release to the captives and deliverance to the oppressed. It's this word. It means release. And so you find then the same word in Ephesians 1, 7. When it says, in Lord Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness, the release of our wrongdoings according to the riches of his grace. So that's a word that's very frequent. Obviously, like I said, it's common in the New Testament. even a verb form, a noun form, and it means to let go of, means to release. So that's the part of the definition that says release. But then there's this other word that's in the New Testament that's really only found in the New Testament this way. And it's a verb, and it's that word that's there at the bottom on the screen, charizomai. But here's what I want you to know. The first half of this word is the Greek word for grace. When you find in the New Testament the word grace, charis, that's the word. This is a verb form of grace. We think of grace as a noun, but in the New Testament, grace is a verb and a noun. Grace is what we do. We're graced. God graces us. That's the way the Bible uses it. This is an action. It means, it's used, for example, in Luke chapter 7. Lord Jesus is telling a story about some people that owe debts to someone. He talks about how one of them owes a debt of like 500 working days, and another one owes a debt of about 50 working days. And he talks about both of those debts being canceled, and it's this word. Those debts were graced. It means they were canceled. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, gracing each other. That's what it says. Just as God in Christ also has graced you, forgiven you. I don't know about you, but I think that's cool. That's just amazing. That's forgiveness. And grace is something that you don't earn. That's grace. Grace is an unearned gift. So when we look at what the Bible says, what the New Testament tells about forgiveness, we recognize that it's a release that is given to us unearned. So forgiveness is giving unearned release. Not undeserved. When I tell you that it's unearned release, I'm not telling you that it's undeserved, because whether or not you deserve it is irrelevant. Forgiveness is a gift. It's not about whether or not you deserve it. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It's a gift. It's why Lord Jesus called us to forgive our debtors, those who owe us. Grace forgiveness is a choice of the forgiver, not an act of the debtor. It's an act of the one to whom a debt is owed, not an act of the one who owes the debt. Grace forgiveness doesn't depend on any attempt at restitution, doesn't require an admission of guilt, doesn't even require an apology. An apology is a payment. Grace forgiveness is a gift. If somebody pays for it, it's not a gift. Grace forgiveness doesn't require payment from the debtor. Grace is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift that we choose to give. And as a grace gift, it isn't dependent on our feeling. We may feel forgiving after, but our choice to give forgiveness isn't dependent on the feeling. When we choose to give grace forgiveness, we're not controlled by how we feel. Forgiveness is giving unearned release. And that matters. Because forgiveness is a command. We are commanded in Colossians 3:12 and 13 to forgive. So So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another. And I told you a couple of weeks ago, that means put up with one another. And forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so you also. On July 1st, 2003, Anthony Warren was angry at people who lived on the first floor of a house in Boston. And about 11 o'clock that night, he fired a gun three times into the house. One of the bullets hit Kai Lee Harriet, 3 years old at the time. She was sitting on a third floor porch with an older sister. The bullet shattered her spine, permanently paralyzing her from the chest down. Warren eventually pleaded guilty to 6 counts of assault with a deadly weapon. And Kylie, with her family, attended the sentencing hearing almost 3 years after the shooting. The 5-year-old girl sat at the front of the courtroom in her wheelchair and looked directly at Anthony. And it took a few moments for her to control her crying. But then after drinking some water, being comforted by her family, she spoke. She said to Anthony, "What you did to me was wrong, but I still forgive you. I still forgive you." Those are blessed words. Words of blessing to the forgiven, and words of blessing to the forgiver. Kylie gave the gift of forgiveness, forgiving as our Lord forgives us. Forgiveness matters because our Lord commands us to forgive. Forgiveness also matters because it's a requirement for our spirits. Remember Simon Wiesenthal? He came to understand that the young German soldier was asking him to forgive him for all that he had done. Well, Wiesenthal left the young soldier's room without saying anything to him. The next day learned, he went back to the same field hospital. He was assigned again to work there the next day, and he learned that the soldier had died during the night. And Wiesenthal was plagued by the question of whether he should have forgiven the soldier. A couple of years later, in a different concentration camp, Wiesenthal met a young Polish man who had studied to become a priest. I don't know if that's why, but he told the young man the story of what had happened to him, and he asked him, "Should I have forgiven him?" 2 years later, after the war, 4 years after the soldier died, because of information he got while he was in the room with the soldier, he found the soldier's mother and went to visit her, but didn't tell her what the son had told him that he had done. Matthew 18, 21 to 22 records that Apostle Peter came to Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Now you gotta understand that when he said that, he thought he was doing like something really big. Because 7 is a big number in that culture, and he was thinking 7 times. Lord Jesus said, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. In other words, there's no limit. If forgiveness is giving unearned release, who is being released? Many people believe that withholding forgiveness is something we do to get back at someone who's harmed us, something we do to hurt them. And the fact is, it might affect them. I'll say more about that in a moment. But when we choose not to forgive, we're holding on to relational IOUs, and they accumulate. It becomes a heavy weight that we carry around with us. I don't know if you remember the image in Charles Dickens' story, A Christmas Carol, of Jacob Marley's chain. Jacob Marley, the ghost of Jacob Marley, comes to see Ebenezer Scrooge, and he has this ponderous chain that he's holding, and he says that it was forged link by selfish acts that he committed in life, and he carried it in death. Well, I'm here to tell you that unreleased grudges forge a ponderously heavy chain that you carry around in life. One of the ways that people have described this a little bit different is they say that refusing to forgive is like taking poison and expecting the other person to get sick. Ephesians 4, verse 31, this is the one right before what I just shared with you earlier, verse 32. All bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander must be put away from you, along with all malice. Forgiveness is the way to put away bitterness. The weight of accumulated grudges, relational IOUs, produce bitterness in our souls. The word that's translated bitterness in that verse, it means something that has a foul, disgusting taste that you want to spit out. So things that are bitter are acidic, and they eat away at you from the inside out. Bitterness is not something that somebody else does to you. It's what you do to yourself. It's a result of our choice to carry a grudge rather than forgive, to continue to carry around a burden that we choose to hold on to. When we forgive, we release the weight of resentment and let go of the burden of a bitter grudge. Forgiveness matters because we need to forgive. It's a requirement for us. And it matters because it is a need for others. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. You should forgive and comfort those who have done wrong to you. Otherwise, such a person might be overwhelmed with excessive sorrow, it says. The gift of forgiveness does not condone what someone else has done. It doesn't excuse what someone has done. Forgiveness is an acknowledgement that somebody's guilty of something. If they're not guilty of something, there's no need for forgiveness. So when we forgive, it is an acknowledgement that someone has done something that needed not to have been done. But forgiveness does not eliminate the fact of the wrongdoing. It eliminates the consequence of the wrongdoing. I'm not going to carry that around. And it removes the burden of a bitter grudge. In June 2008, Grace Idowu learned that her son David had been stabbed. When she arrived at the hospital, she says she was burning up and shaking. When her husband heard the news, he collapsed to the floor crying. And they wept and prayed, she said, for nearly 3 weeks. And 20 days later, David died. The young man who killed David was named Elijah. He was convicted, sentenced to prison. The next year, Grace requested to visit Elijah in prison, and he refused to see her. The next year, Grace applied again. This time, Elijah accepted. And when Grace arrived at the prison, Elijah was crying bitterly. She was told that he had been crying all morning. Grace asked Elijah if he'd ever met her son David, and he said no. So Grace asked him why he attacked her son. He said because he was from a rival school. And Grace began to cry. She said to Elijah, "I'm not crying for David. I'm crying for you." what have you done with your life? Grace told Elijah about David and his three brothers. She said, you've taken our best friend away from us, but I want you to know that I forgive you. And then she hugged him. Later, Grace said that she left that day with a huge sense of relief. She'd put off a whole bunch of weight. Relief for herself and relief for Elijah, hoping that he'd be able to forgive himself. If he did, her forgiveness likely was essential for that to happen. The people we forgive need our forgiveness. So let me close then, talking a little bit about how forgiveness works. First, focus on why you feel offended or wronged. Don't pretend you don't feel what you feel. You're not going to forgive if you just stuff it or suppress it or pretend like it's not there. So pay attention. Notice, note. You may not do this well if you do it in the moment and immediately after whatever has happened. You might need to walk away and not react, calm down. But then pray for the calming presence of the Spirit and the Spirit's revelation of why it is you feel offended or wronged. Why are you feeling offended or wronged? What are the expectations that weren't met or violated? Talked about this a couple weeks ago. What are the expectations that weren't met or violated? And there's a couple of reasons why you need to take a moment to focus on why you feel offended or wronged. One is you want to be clear about what you're forgiving. When you want to release something, you want to be clear about what you're letting go. So know what it is that you're letting go of. Second, once you're clear about why you're feeling wronged or offended, you want the Spirit to do an examination. Sometimes the reason that we're feeling wronged or offended is because of self-serving expectations that we need to confess. We've struck out at somebody else and we're holding it against them, and it's something that really was to serve ourselves. Sometimes. And sometimes, actually, in my personal experience, I found this in talking with people in my own life, that very often, the reason I'm feeling offended or wronged is because some expectation was violated or never met that I never communicated clearly. I just felt that, well, if they really care about me, they'll know this is what I need or want. They'll just know that's what they should do. So we just need to get clear about what it is that we're carrying around so that when we put it down, we know what we're releasing. Next, remember how you've been forgiven. The verse I read a little bit ago says we need to forgive as we have been forgiven. We need to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. Grace forgiveness. And he told us, we talked about this a few months ago, he told us what we need to do with people that we think are out to get us. We need to pray for them, not against them. We need to bless them as you would want someone to bless you. We need to serve what they need, not what you need them to need, but what they need. Remember how you've been forgiven. That's how you've been forgiven. And we're called to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. Next, we need to express what we feel to the Lord. So after we spent time paying attention, being clear about what it is that we feel has been the offense or the wrong, we're clear about what it is we need to release, then express what we feel to the Lord. He's not going to be put off. Give it to the Lord. Surrender to the Spirit's control rather than the emotion's control. And you only have to do this once, and you never have to do this again. Right. No. This is a repeated experience. Over and over, we're expressing what we're feeling to the Lord. Because feelings are those things that they just rise up. They just happen. Something, we hear something, we see something, we remember something, the feelings come back up. We give them to the Lord every time, over and over. We're expressing what we feel to the Lord. We're surrendering what we feel to the Lord so that we can surrender to the Spirit's control rather than to our emotions' control. Not allowing your emotions to control you doesn't mean that you deny the emotions. It means you need to pay attention. You need to look those emotions in the face and say, you're not in charge, the Lord is. So you need to be able to face them, face on. And then embrace the empowerment and the journey. Forgiveness is a miracle. It's not an achievement. It's a work of God. It's not a work of you. It's not natural. It's supernatural. Because the Spirit of God indwells those who have received Christ, and He's ready to do that work in you. Allow Him to do that work. Experience and embrace the empowerment of the Spirit, and know that it's a process, not an event. Forgiveness is a process, not an event. And so we want to embrace the Spirit's empowerment and the journey. So there's one thing I want you to notice here on your note sheet, that when you pay attention to these first four letters, they spell out the word free, because you're the ones being released. Grace forgiveness is giving unearned release, and you are freed from the burden, from the bondage of the grudge. So this morning, are you holding on to any relational IOUs? Maybe you have them kind of stored away in a special secret place that you can go visit every so often. Just review all the ways that you've been wronged. And I'm not trying to suggest that you haven't been. I'm not. I'm not suggesting that you haven't been wronged. But what are you going to do about it? You want to keep going through life with that burden? Forgiving is not an act of weakness. It's an act of strength. It doesn't take any strength at all. It doesn't take any power at all not to forgive. But it is the strength of God and the power of His Spirit that makes it possible for us to forgive. Forgiveness is something you choose to make happen. It's not a feeling that happens to you. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an action. It's a choice. You may begin to feel forgiving later after you choose to forgive. But this morning, I encourage you, let it go. Just let it go. Give it to the Lord. Let go of the burden. Release the resentment. Choose to forgive. Let's pray. Our Father, who has forgiven so much, we are grateful for your patience, that you are slow to anger and rich in mercy, and that you have extended grace forgiveness to us. Now, Lord, we believe that you know better than we do what a challenge it is for us to do the same. And we acknowledge this morning that that's not something we can do on our own. So I pray for my friends who are here. I pray for others who will be listening to this message at another time. I pray for myself. I pray that you would empower us by your Spirit, as only you can, to fully embrace your grace forgiveness to us, that we might be vessels of that very same grace forgiveness to those that we are living life with. We give ourselves to you for that purpose. In the name of the one who makes it possible. Amen.